And at the praise of God, everything quiets down. Sometimes you got to praise him long enough for your mind to quiet down. But when we praise him, everything changes. We usher in peace. We usher in God's intervention. We usher in victory. We usher in healing. We usher in great supply, supernatural above anything that we could do. I'm not big enough to take care of me. I'm not great enough to provide eternal life. That only comes from my Father. And you just need to lift your hands and thank him. Listen, I, there may be different things going on with different people in this room, but God is still God. And one of the ways that I let him know that I trust him is I praise him even when it doesn't look like it's going well, because my praise will turn it around. I praise you, Lord God. I praise and I magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we're so grateful for this time this morning, Lord God. Yeah. Your word tells us that those that seek you with their whole heart would find you. And so, Father, we're taking time to cry from the midst of our heart for you, Lord God, to know you, Lord God, to know the power of your resurrection. Lord, you said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Father, may there be never any lack of knowing you here, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord God. The knowledge of you delivers us from destruction. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, as we open our hearts and yield our entire beings to you, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for infusing us with wisdom, infusing us with knowledge, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, we receive everything that you have for us today, correction, instruction in righteousness, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that when we leave this place, Lord God, we thank you, Father, that our hearts will pour out praise, Lord God. For we will be overwhelmed, Lord God, with everything that you are, Lord God, and everything that you've done in our lives, Lord God, and everything that you've revealed to us.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as my wife and I, as we deliver the word that we believe you've placed on our heart, we thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you, Father, for the ability to communicate your will with perfection and accuracy. And we pray, Lord God, that every heart is touched by the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. As you're seated, flip over to Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's easy to remember, ain't it? 2020? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And the King James reads, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Look, it almost appears as though there's double talk there. Mm-hmm. He said, fear not. And then he says, God's come to prove you that his fear may be before your face. Well, wait a minute. Do you want me to fear or do you not want me to fear? Amen. Glory. And so what we looked at here is that God doesn't want us to be scared of him. But God does want us to have a reverential fear of him. The same way that we have that reverence for lightning. And so when it's lightning outside, you don't go stand outside with an umbrella or you get off the golf course because you understand that doing the wrong thing in that atmosphere can cost you your life.
Yeah.
And so God wants us to have that kind of fear for him. And here in Exodus chapter number 20, Moses had to tell them and kind of help them to understand, because God showed up on this mountain. First of all, God told Moses, he said, I want you to go and tell the people to make themselves ready for the third day. I'm going to come and meet with you here. So tell them to wash their clothes. Tell them to clean up and be prepared for the third day. I'm coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, when you really clean up, you know, when you got something special and you really clean up, you know, you're going to a black tie affair and you know, you got special clothes on. And you've taken a shower, you got your cologne and everything on, you got your good shoes on, and you understand that atmosphere calls for something different than what you normally do. Y'all ain't saying amen good enough right now. Because there is an atmosphere of God. And God say, do something different. Because what you normally do is not good enough for this atmosphere. Amen. So it says he came to prove you. And, you know, when I see this word prove, some people will translate it test. Some translators will translate it test. You know, and it's okay to translate it that way, but you know, if I give you a test and I already know what you're going to score before I give you the test, I look at that a little bit differently. And what helps me to understand what God is doing, because if God is giving me a test and he already knows what I'm going to score, he wants me to see. It ain't for him. He already know. He want me to see what my score is. And so God wanted to, and I love to translate it this way. It helps me. Expose. I want to expose my fear before your face that you sin not. And you can see that the way to eliminate sin is to have fear for God. Not to try to change and to try to stop doing things. God has never asked us to do that because we can't do it. I can't do it. But what I can do is have a reverence in my heart for him, and that reverence in my heart will eliminate sin from the equation.
You know, as we purpose to be obedient to God, and we, you know, one of the things that God told Joshua, listen, keep the law before you. You know, keep it in your eyes, keep it in your mouth so that you can see, so that you can walk in the victory. Because when we reverence God, we get the better side. When we reverence God, we experience his goodness. When we reverence God, his presence demands that all our enemies back down. The world will try to paint God as this, oh, you better watch out, or you know, I say you better watch out made me think of something different. But anyway, you better watch out, because if you're not careful, God will throw down lightning and zap you real good. If you're not careful, God will take your family from you. If you're not careful, you know, like with Job, there was this, Satan had this attitude. The only reason Job fears you is because he knows if he doesn't, you will wipe him out. But God knew better. And God wants us to know better about him. God is not here to terrify me. He's not here to terrorize me. He is here to be my God, to be my Father, to be my provider, to be my protector, to be my peace. No matter what is going on, to be my victory.
Turn to Psalm number 89. Psalm 89:7. It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. In other words, God demands a certain atmosphere. And I always, when I come to a church service, I'm looking for God to come, to be here. But God says, now, I'm greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. And so when we have an assembly where the fear of the Lord is the atmosphere that we develop, then God say, that's where I show up. That's where I show up. Glory to God. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him or around him. He is to be held in reverence. God don't do disrespect. He doesn't do disrespect. And he says, I'm to be had in reverence. Glory to God. Of all them that are around me. And, you know, so this word reverence is often used when we're talking about the fear of the Lord. It is a reverential fear of God. And so this word is often used, and the best way to define it, in my opinion, is this. Reverence is the response to a revelation of God. Mm-hmm. See? Because sometimes, you know, our concept of God is immature, incomplete, flawed. And when I really see him for who he is, there's nobody in the scripture. God appeared to a lot of people. There ain't nobody that when they saw him, didn't bow down before him. Amen. That bowing down is the response of the revelation. It is the response of the revelation. And so the fear of the Lord will begin to motivate me. That's the wrong word. The fear of the Lord will bring out certain responses in me. I'm going to respond a certain way to him, to the singing about him, to the praising of him, to reading about him, to a desire to spend time with him. I'm going to respond a certain way because of that reverence or that revelation. I'll respond a certain way. Glory to God. And last week, God woke me up because I had been asking him, why the fear of the Lord isn't more talked about and isn't more wide ranging in the Christianity. There's a lot of folks that don't really fear him. They don't have that reverence for God. And I said, why is that not? And I'm talking about good people.
Yeah.
I'm not saying bad people, but I'm saying that there's something missing in the way that they approach God. There's something missing in the way that they approach prayer. There's something missing in the way that they give offerings. There's something missing in the way that they serve in the church. There's something missing in the way they approach other people. There's something missing that would not say God. There's something missing. And the Lord woke me up, because I had been just thinking and turning it over and over. What is it, Lord? What is it? Because, you know, I read the scripture in Matthew chapter 15, and God says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And so what is it that would cause somebody to say the right things, but their heart have no reverence? Their heart have no fear. They're saying the right things. They're doing the right things. Mm-hmm. But their heart doesn't have anything. I said, Lord, what is that? And the Lord woke me up with one word. Compromise. 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 He said it is the issue for many good people. And all compromise is, in this context, is the blending together of two different qualities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blending some together.
And these are people who will say that they love God and want to please him and want to honor him. But when you said the word compromise, it made me think in engineering or science, when something pure mm-hmm. has had some impurity placed in it, or there's a glitch in the program, sometimes they'll use the word, it's been compromised. Mm-hmm. And so when we...
Something that ain't supposed to be in there.
Right.
Then got up in there.
Right. And you know what? Some people won't even know it's there because they're used to it and they're willing to accept it. And really, the bottom line is willing to tolerate it without even realizing that what they're doing is tolerating it.
So I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, okay, compromise. What is... How can I communicate this so that everybody will get it? Because I think when we think compromise, we think I'm doing a little bit of sin. or a little bit of lying, or a little bit of stealing. We think those things, and yes, those things are compromise. But for the majority of people in the church, those good people, that's not the area of their compromise. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said they compromise when they hear my voice. They compromise when they hear my voice. And I looked at it. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 15, I believe it is. I know it is, actually. Exodus chapter 15. Let's start at verse 25. So the children of Israel have been traveling. They've gotten out of Egypt. They're no longer in bondage, right? And God has just delivered them with mighty miracles, man. He's brought them out of Egypt. Then they got to a place where they couldn't go any further, and they had Pharaoh's army behind them, and they got no weapons. They got nothing to fight with. They have no way that they can advance, and they have no way that they can defend themselves. And they cry out to the Lord, or Moses does. Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord says, "What's in your hand?" And stretch that rod toward that sea. And he stretched the rod toward the sea. And the sea parted. And the Bible says they walked on dry ground across. So it's one thing to part the sea. It's a whole nother thing to dry up the ground under their feet. It's the extent that God will go through to show himself strong in your life when you pay attention to him. They got across the sea. 3 million people walked through the sea. The Bible also says while they walked through the sea, that pillar of fire that was behind them stayed there so Pharaoh couldn't follow them. And then that pillar lifted once they got across, and Pharaoh's chariots went right into that sea and was saying, "We're going to get them. They're not going to get away from us." And they were hot on their heels and determined that they were going to kill them. What did God do? Close the sea. Close the sea. And this is so outstanding to me, because it shows when you fear the Lord, God will open ways for you that other people, when they try to use them, will be their peril. The same way that was a blessing, the same way that was their deliverance, when somebody else tried to follow them, they couldn't do it, because it's not available if the Lord's not on your side. It's not available to everybody. Amen. Who's it available to? The ones that fear God. All right, I'm sorry. So they've gotten through this. They've traveled 3 days. But they couldn't find any clean water to drink. And they come to this water, but they can't drink it because the water is bitter or poisonous. And the people started complaining or murmuring. And Moses cried unto the Lord. And that's where we are right here. All right, verse 25, it says, "And he cried unto the Lord." Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I got to show y'all another scripture. But this, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord did what? He cried to the Lord. The Lord did what? The Lord did what? I wonder who else could resolve the issue. Only the one who the Lord showed. This issue cannot be solved except for the one that God showed. This is the solution right here. And the Lord showed him a tree. He didn't go to no chemistry lab and mix up some stuff and say, okay, I think I got this result. They didn't all have to get a shot. They say, if you get the shot, you can drink the water. They didn't have to do that.
Amen.
The Lord showed him a tree. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It shows you God ain't got to do nothing new. He used what's already there. The Lord showed him a tree, and when he had cast into the waters was made sweet. There's some sweet water. They liked the water. They said, there's some good water. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he did what? Expose what was in their heart. What was in their heart? Fear. What kind of fear? The wrong kind. He showed them what was in their heart. Verse 26. Look at this. And look what he said. If thou wilt diligently hearken or pay careful attention to what? The voice of the Lord thy God. If you'll pay attention to the voice of the Lord. Yeah. If you'll pay attention to what God is saying to you. See, God told me this is the compromise. Because there ain't nobody in here that's never heard him. But when we hear him, we don't always fear him. And when we don't fear him, we compromise. So when he says, get up and pray, I'll get up in the morning. That's a compromise. When he says, I want you to give this person that, I'll give them this. That's enough. That's a compromise. That's mixing what he didn't say with what he did. And when you mix what he didn't with what he did, you have what he didn't say. You can't mix what he said with anything and still have what he said.
No, that's like trying to help people understand. When you hear his voice and you only do part of what he says, you know, you'll lie to yourself and say, that's good enough. Partial obedience is still disobedience. And sometimes we think it's okay because there was no immediate consequence. So we think it's okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that someone was obedient and blessed you because God told them to. Someone was obedient and came and prayed for you and God moved because they were obedient to God.
And what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? He said, my sheep They hear my voice. That ain't all. What'd he say? And they follow. They follow me. They follow. Now, so everybody hears the voice, but everybody don't follow. And so he's saying the ones that don't follow is not a sheep. Because the sheep hear his voice, and what do? Why do they follow him? They have such reverence and respect for the shepherd. All throughout the scripture, this principle of hearing the voice of God and then obeying is all throughout the Bible. Incidentally, if you will look up the Hebrew word translated obey and the Greek word translated obey, they both have the root hear. So obedience is not in the doing. It's first in the hearing. How do I hear it? How do I hear it? That's where the compromise comes in. How do I hear it? Not that I hear it, but how do I hear it? You know, Jesus, we're having communion today, and Jesus was beginning to teach about who he was, and he said, you know, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And a bunch of the disciples said, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it?
Yeah. You know, it makes me think about how we get sometimes, God's people, when the word comes forth from the pulpit. And then you say, okay, I've done my duty, and you put your Bible on the coffee table till next Sunday. When what you have heard across the pulpit has so much more in it, but because of irreverence of God, thinking it's not important. You know, one of the things with the children of Israel, when God first came to speak to them in the mountain, they were so afraid that they finally said, Moses, we don't want to do it this way. Now, this is the way God wanted to do it. We don't want to do it this way, Moses. We don't like this. This is uncomfortable. This is unfamiliar. This is scaring us. We tell you what, you go and you get the word from God and you bring it back to us and we'll do whatever you say. Now, just if you just think about the history, that is not what happened. And a lot of times what we want, we want somebody to serve it to us on a silver platter. And we want that to be it. And we're going to go home. And that's not how God operates. There's a purpose for coming together. There's a purpose for being together as in unity, as a corporate, for lack of a better way of putting it, a corporate cell that comes to get nourished. Then the cell, you leave and you still look at what God has said and allow Holy Spirit to open up even more. The very thing that you need to walk in complete healing is in that message, but you never took it beyond what came across the pulpit. The very thing you need to preserve your marriage is in that message, but you never took it home to allow Holy Spirit to open it up and expound on it for you. It's too hard. It shouldn't take all of that. Well, you know what? We got two choices, live or die. That's really what it boils down to. If you choose life, raise your hand. See, we all quick to say, I choose life. And so sometimes we have to kill the flesh and say, get up. We gonna talk to God before we do anything else. because he's got something to say to me. Every time you come into the church house, it should be the attitude, Lord, I have come to hear your voice. Even though everyone is hearing the same message, because of Holy Spirit, everyone is hearing something differently. And then you take it home and you allow Holy Spirit to expound.
When God came to Israel, he said, I want to make you a kingdom of priests.
Yes, yes.
A kingdom of who? A kingdom of priests.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed.
In other words, I don't want you going to one person to know what it means to worship. I don't want you to go into one person to find out what it's like to have a relationship with me. I want all y'all to have one. God's very personal.
Yeah.
Let's go to Genesis 22. And I can go to scripture after scripture. God talked to Israel. The reason that they were in exile from the promised land, he said, I spoke to you and you would not obey my voice. Genesis chapter 22. Let's start with verse number 1. So that's the first area that we have to develop that fear for the Lord in, is obeying his voice. And we've all said or heard other people say, listen to this statement, something told me. Not even giving him the reverence of calling him who he is.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me and told me to stay away from there. The Lord spoke to me and told me not to take that job. The Lord spoke to me and told me not to go on this trip.
Yeah, yeah.
See, once I reference and call it God, I'll have a different attitude toward what I heard.
Yeah.
But when I don't do that, I'll take it lightly and say, oh, it's going to be okay. I'm just mm-hmm. always worried about something.
Yeah.
Man, if the Lord speaks to you. And see now, here's the thing. We develop our ear during our Bible study.
Yes.
During our prayer time. During a worship in the sanctuary. See, when I reverence him during praise and worship, I'm developing my ear. I'm expressing my heart, and I'm developing my ear. Man, don't you know I can't sit down next to my wife and look her in her eyes and passionately say, honey, I love you, without hearing something back.
Now the question is, will you hear what I say back? Will you hear my response? There are people who believe that God only answers you sometimes. There is not a time that God turns a deaf ear to you. Not one. Not one. Not one single time. Not one. And it doesn't, listen, God is not subject to time, distance, or anything else in this natural realm. So it doesn't take him a week to answer you. But can you get quiet and will you listen? Will you hear? And if you don't know how, ask him. He will teach you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me just say this too, because one of the things that came out in the study was this. The commandments. God would often tell Israel, obey my commandments. The commandments, the purpose of the commandments is so they could hear his voice when they read them. Because
mm-hmm.
he talked about obeying his voice, and as a result of what you heard, then do the commandments. Remember, it said, if you fear the Lord, then you would stop sinning.
Yeah.
So it's what I'm hearing. And in the New Testament, the word that's translated obey, I might mess up this word. Don't hold it against me because I'm not a Greek scholar. But I believe it's hupotasso. Hupotasso. Y'all wouldn't know if I messed it up anyway. Let me stick my set. Let me say that with my chest. Hupo tasso. Oh, but the word literally means to hear under. It to hear under. It is submission. That means when I hear, it's yes, sir.
Yeah.
I got one response. I heard you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. One response.
Yeah.
One response.
Yeah.
One response. And see, when you cultivate that hearing, you will always hear under. Is that going to change your response? Okay. Some of y'all said yeah. Some of y'all went, It'll change the way I respond because some people respond to God with arrogance, with self-importance. I would do this, but I got all these other things. What? You talking to the one that put the stars up there. The one who made the sun and the moon, the one who created you, the one who gave your life purpose, and now you done got to this place and got too busy to do what he wants you to do? Too important? Don't feel like it right now? All right, I want to close if we can. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I believe Holy Spirit helped me to understand was everything that God says to me is a commandment. Everything. Even him saying, I love you. Even him saying, I'll never leave nor forsake you. And then even in him saying, I need you to give this person that. Mm-hmm. Or I need you to get up every morning and spend this much time in prayer. Or what? It's a commandment. I am here on assignment. We are all here on assignment. I think the body of Christ has to understand when scripture says, any man that be in Christ is a new creature, old things are passed away and all things are become new. This body is still the body that I came into this earth with, but the real me is new and different. And my origin is heaven. Yeah. And so when I see and understand more and more where I came from, I'll respond and act differently. See, when I understand where I came from, when I understand I came from heaven, even Jesus says, no man can go to heaven unless he, I'm paraphrasing, I like to say paraphrasing, no man can go to heaven unless he came from heaven. I was birthed from God, and where is God? That's where I came from. That's my birthplace. That's my original birthplace. I am in this physical suit. God used my mother and my father to give me what I needed to stay here in this earth and operate. But I'm here now on assignment. And God forbid, and Adrian forbid, that I walk through this earth never having known my assignment, and then known it and was haphazardly casual about it.
Yeah, and let me just say this too, because I've heard a lot of people say, well, the Lord doesn't speak to me.
All the time.
I haven't heard him. And I, you know, my heart goes out to you. But check this out. If I was your boss at work, it's your responsibility to find out what the instructions are for the day. You can't come to the office and sit down and say, because he ain't tell me to do nothing. Where are you going to be? Yeah, yeah. Standing out on Easter with a sign.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility. And so we got to know that if I haven't heard from God, and he says he speaks to me, then I got to make it a point to get in a position to hear. And if I'm not hearing, you got to know that there's been so much compromise that your heart becomes callous. Because over time, as you compromise over and over again, and I'm talking about compromise with the hearing. I'm not saying, because some people will hear stuff and think, oh, I ain't did no sin. When you heard and didn't obey, it hardens your heart. And so the next time he wants to speak, you can't hear. Now, let me say this too, because, you know, we today keep our phones with us, so we always have some entertainment. And we're used to, if we're not entertained for the totality immediately, we go to our phone. If you have to sit and wait in a doctor's office, everybody is on their phone. If you are riding in the car with some, we go to our phone. Anytime we have any time to feel, we go to the little entertainment system that we carry around with us. And that system that we carry around with us can get in the way, because we even do it in church, and that is irreverent. I got no respect for you, so if you ain't spoke to me yet, I'm going to entertain myself, because this is boring to me. Waiting can be boring. If you don't have the proper reverence. Amen. I got to respect God. All right, let's, 22, Genesis 22:1. I didn't even read the scripture. Yeah, all right. Okay, look at what it says. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, test, or the word I gave you, expose. God don't need to test nobody. He already know what you're going to score on the test. Right? All right. So God did expose Abraham. And look, he said unto him. How did he expose him? By what he said to him. He said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2. And he said, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. All right, so we can see some principles of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is number one, to obey his voice immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. When I hear, I got to do it. And personally, I know myself. Some things, if I give myself some time to think about it, I'll reason it away.
Yeah. I think we all
as though I didn't hear him.
I said, I think we all do that.
Yeah, as though I didn't hear or I was mistaken, as though it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll reason away. So you have to do it instantly. Abraham rose up early in the morning. And he got right to it. Number two. When I hear his voice, I got to do it even when it don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
God said, take your son. Take your son. Now, Abraham didn't know what God was doing, but God wanted to expose Abraham's heart. So if I tell you to do the hardest thing, that thing that you could never conceive, what will you do? See, when you really revere him, it don't matter what he say.
Yes, sir.
Right. When I hear under, when I hear in submission to, when he tells me to do the most difficult thing that I can fathom, I got one answer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, understand something. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. So even when it doesn't make any sense, you got to do it. Even when it's hard, you got to do it. You got to do it instantly. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me just skip down this entire thing. Let's skip down to verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. I'm just trying to imagine, because God told him, I want you to go up there and sacrifice your son. And here's his son talking to him. And he answered him like nothing different. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. See, some of us will complain if God just told me, just go to church every week. Yeah. I can't imagine having to. And his heart can't waver, because God knows his heart. He did this to expose his heart. So we know what his heart was ready to do. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham. He had to call him twice to make sure he didn't do, Abraham, hey, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him.
There was absolute trust on Abraham's side. Absolute trust. Abraham trusted God. But his son trusted him. Because I'm sorry, I love, you know, my father's going home to be with the Lord, but I love my daddy, but I'm not getting ready to let him tie my hands up and lay me on the wood. It ain't happening. You better check again and see if that was God. But there was trust and there was obedience. In scripture, God says the reason he chose Abraham is because he knew he would teach his children. You know, some of us, we got stuff, we kind of jacked up, we kind of messed up and all that, and God is into forgiving. Don't get so caught up in your past that you think you can't have a relationship with God. Don't let that excuse sit there. And you know, one of the things you said about entertainment, you know, when people can't sit still or be quiet long, so if it's not engaging their mind, so to speak, in a way that they like, they will turn to entertainment. Listen, I looked up where the word entertainment comes from, and I'm going to give you the definition based on how it its origin. It enters to contain you. We have got to realize that we have a real enemy who has a real plan, and so we need to really be in contact with our God, with our Father. You don't know everything that's going on in the invisible. You don't even know what's going on down the street right now. But God does. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows what the enemy is trying to do to you tomorrow. But see, Abraham just had this total, complete trust in God. Listen, Lord, we've been traveling long enough. I know you'll never hurt me. You listen, scripture, Paul says Abraham received in the vision, or in his imagination, in his heart, in his mind, God raising his son from the dead. Abraham intended to take that boy's life because that's what God told him to do.
And let me just say this too. I talked about some of these principles
doing it immediately when it hurts, even when it doesn't make sense, and do it to completion.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest issues I know in my life that have where compromise has entered in is I've started on a course and didn't complete the course. I've started on a fast. I started a reading program. I started praying every morning. I started getting up earlier for church so I didn't have time to pray. So when I got here, I was ready to hear. See, you can start things, but not do them through to completion. And that's mixing. This is not to get down on anybody, but I want us to reverence God, because when we do, he shows up.
Yes.
He shows up. And I didn't show you earlier, but when I looked at that scripture where it says God showed him a tree in Psalm number 25, it says that the Lord will show his secret to those that fear him.
Yeah.
I think it's 25:14. He'll show his secret. See, God had a secret way to take the water that you can't drink and make it the water you can drink.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me just say this, because that thing, man, see, for a lot of us, we'll be in situations that are uncomfortable, and we'll start saying things like, I need to move, I can't take this any longer. Wait a minute, cry out to God, because God's got a solution right where you are. It was famine in the land. What, nobody eating? And Isaac said, oh, there's plenty down in Egypt. I'm going to go down to Egypt. God said, don't go there. You stay right here.
Yeah.
I'll provide for you right here.
Yeah.
See, our mind don't see God's secrets. Our mind can't fathom how we can handle it right here. Our mind will put us in a box that God never intended us to be in.
Amen. And you know, I'm just going to believe this is for somebody here or somebody online. You need to know that God can be trusted more than 100%. You know, sometimes horrible things happen to godly people. People that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But I can guarantee you, nothing, absolutely nothing has ever happened to one of God's children that Holy Spirit didn't try to talk to them. Don't you ever think that God just let somebody walk off the cliff, or God just let someone be in a horrible accident, or God just let that plane fall to the ground, or God, no. There were multiple testimonies of people, if they had not heard God and been obedient, would not be here today from 9/11.
Yeah.
God never lets you walk aimlessly around and be a target for the enemy. Never.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. You need to hear this. Never. Because if you think he does,
That's
a dangerous place to be. God is always, always talking to us, but because he made us free will agents, he gave us the power, the authority to choose. We can say yes or no. or completely ignore him. God knows what's coming a year from now should Jesus tarry. And he may start talking to you now, grooming you now, even more so that when he talks to you a year from now. But see, we keep trying to use our finite thinking.
Yeah.
And that's not how we operate with God.
Let me try to finish this scripture. We had 22:12, I think, is where we were. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Whatever you ask me. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham, don't you think that was an accident? Abraham was lucky. God shared his secret with him. Just look over there. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place. Wait a minute. So the thing that came to me when I read this, Abraham had a different revelation of God. And so he revered God as the Lord that always sees and will provide what I need in that moment. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. So now, always remember this. The angels are messengers. So God gave this angel a message. Take this message to Abraham. Because Abraham listens. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Verse 17, look at this. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18, I'll stop here. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Why? Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice, or you've heard, and your response to what you heard was surrender and submission. Yeah. Now, in Psalm number 34, it says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And I believe Holy Spirit will teach us. I'll show you more about that next week. I believe Holy Spirit will teach us. But you have to want it.
Yes. Yes.
God didn't even make Adam and Eve respect what he said. So you don't have to respect him. You don't have to respond to him with reverence. You can disrespect him, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Glory.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Nika hasoro shiki. Mekadomo. Ike adaso. Grobini ishkada abos. Here's what I want us to do. I believe that everybody recognizes there have been times where their reverence and their awe of God, their respect for God has been lacking. But I want you to know that God will help you to learn his fear, help you to learn to stand in awe of him.
Mm-hmm.
God will turn the hearing back on so that you have opportunity.
Yeah.
So I'd like us to pray this morning. And for those of you here in the sanctuary, or those online, if you know that there's an area of giving the proper reverence to what you've heard, that you've missed it in that area, I want you just to repent of that today. And that
yes.
repentance, and then asking God to teach you to revere him. He'll teach you. He'll give you a new revelation. He'll teach you that he's Jehovah that sees. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. He'll teach
you. Thank
you,
Lord.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord God, for this congregation, both in-house and online. I thank you, Father, for there's in many a heartfelt reverence or desire to reverence. A desire to have a response come from their hearts so that they can properly worship, properly glorify and respect your name. And so I thank you, Father, for hearing the cry of all of those, Lord God, who repent for missing your voice or not giving the proper honor to it. We know, Lord, your sheep hear your voice. And we declare we are your sheep.
Yes.
So when we hear, we follow. We follow. Teach us, Lord. Instruct us, Lord, in the fear of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that it is the atmosphere of everything that we do. May every word we speak, every thought that we think, every deed that we do, Lord, show our respect and honor and awe of you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, the thing that came to me about communion is this. That God wants us to rightly respect the Lord's table. And the scripture says, because some don't, many are weak and sickly among you. In other words, the healing and strength that they could have, they don't have. Because they don't respect the Lord's table.
Yeah.
So there is access to divine favor this morning as we receive communion. There is access to strength this morning as you receive communion. There's access to blessing as you receive communion.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Deacons, if you can come forward. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Of glory fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. One last time, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Just want to be with you.
I just want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you could put that up for me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. I just want to read through these verses as we prepare to receive communion. It is not to be taken lightly. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. He says, I've received of the Lord. Where'd he get it from? He heard from God that which also I delivered unto you.
Thank you, Lord.
That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, I'm going to read through it first.
Thank you, Lord.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Thank you, Lord.
This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. You do show that Jesus' death was the price for my salvation. His death was the price for my deliverance. His death. That's what it cost. It wasn't free. It's free to me. But it costs a lot. What did he give? His son, his only son. When he gave his son, what did he do?
Thank you, Lord.
He exposed his heart.
Thank you, Lord.
He exposed his heart. And his heart says, there is nothing that I'll keep from you.
Thank you, Lord.
Then verse 27, I'm coming to a close. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. That word unworthily means irreverently. Without reverence. Irreverent is without reverence. Anyone that take it that way shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread.
Yes.
Eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or irreverently eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning or not understanding the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God takes it seriously. And we need to take it seriously.
Yes.
So, Lord, as we receive of your table today, we have much reverence and awe of the precious blood of Jesus, who, though he was without sin, was made to be sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, Lord, we honor that place in him that has bestowed upon us righteousness. You said when we're righteous, when you're establishing righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So we thank you, Lord God, for our place. And we do, Lord God,
yes,
stand in awe of what you've done through the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that as we receive this cup, we recognize we are free from all sin. And as we receive this bread, we thank you, Lord God, that it is his body for ours. And so, Father, every bruise on his body was for our transgressions. And every wound, Lord God, was to make us whole. Heal, healthy, and strong.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for what you did in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
thank you, Lord God, that as we receive this cup, those of us that pray to learn the fear, we thank you, Lord, that you'll download unto us that fear and